The title of the sermon is Set Up a Pop-Up.
All right.
Set up a pop-up. Uh-huh. And pop-up is P-O-P-U-P with a hyphen in between. Set up a pop-up.
All right, now.
I promise it'll make sense.
Help us.
So, trending in these here United States are something called pop-up shops. And if you've never heard of a pop-up shop, it is a microcosm of a larger company, usually.
Right.
Not always, but usually. What that means is if you have something to sell or something to offer, and you want to attract some new customers, or you want to monopolize in your area, or for various other reasons, and we'll talk about them in a little while, you set up a pop-up shop. So the beautiful thing about a pop-up shop is that it's up for a limited amount of time. It pops up, you sell out your inventory, and you shut it down. So what it does is it saves energy, time, effort, and there are more benefits than investment. So what if we took this concept that has been in the Bible since it was written? Pop-up is not a new concept. Everything the world does that has a benefit came from the Word. So I'm watching this new phenomenon called pop-up shops, and I'm looking at it closely. And I'm like, well, Jesus did that a long time ago. And so what is happening is we're burning ourselves out as Christians. And in the process, most of the time, making ourselves unapproachable. What does that mean? Some of us are so Holy Ghost anointed. And we ride in this high 100 anointing all day, every day. So somebody comes up to you and says, hi, how you doing? Oh, bless his name, hallelujah. I am blessed and highly favored of that Jesus. And immediately, your company is going, okay, yeah, I'm a holler at you later. And so the saints of God are riding at this level all the time. And so this is the perfect Sunday to talk about this because I'm physically tired. I don't know about you. But after 3 days of revival, and it's a good tire. The word was awesome. I got some information to go back to work with. It was wonderful. Yesterday's fellowship was great. And a lot of people had to do a lot of physical labor, though, to make this happen. And even those of us who didn't do much physical labor, we were praying as the preachers were preaching. And we were praying during the day. And so there was a lot of giving out. And unfortunately, we have made the church believe that you need to walk at that level all the time. And you turn people off. All you get is people saying, don't talk to Miss Mary, she's crazy. Or we have those cold fish Christians, which also takes energy. Somebody says something, at home, at work, all you do is grunt back, nasty attitude. But it's because I'm reserving my anointing for. Can we just talk today? You know, usually by now I'd have ran back and forth 3 times, but I'm tired. So can we just talk? We're still preaching and we're still in the Word of God. And then you have those Christians who are so worldly that you're no churchly good. So at work and at school, people don't approach you to get a word from the Lord or to get kindness or niceness, because you don't always have to be saying Jesus to be representing Christ. So you have people who can just walk up to you and say, "Ooh, did you see what happened on Queen Sugar?" And don't act like you don't watch it. And I'm not saying it's bad, but don't let that be your brand. What are you known for? So let's talk about pop-ups just for a second. Three goals of a pop-up. A pop-up shop has three goals. The first is to make a profit. You want what you invest to have a payoff. Second goal, create brand awareness. And you know what's in the word already. And number three, the third goal of a pop-up is to engage with your customers. Amen. So let me give you an example of how this works in the world. We could do that. So Sister Campbell has a wonderful restaurant. So let's just say Sister Campbell wants to make a little more profit. She wants to get her brand out there. We know she can cook. And we want her to engage with some new customers. So what if she went downtown and rented a spot outside the bank, outside, put up a tent, and said, "I'm going to be here at lunch for the next 3 days." And she markets this thing for 3 days. She goes where there's a lot of foot traffic, school hallway, work. You go where there's traffic, and then you do your best. You give all your strength for the pop-up, but the good news is you get to shut it down. You do not have to do that every day, all day. You're not at two locations. You have your main location, 821 Liberty Street, and then you have a microcosm of the church or the restaurant out there for limited engagement. Saves a lot of energy, saves a lot of time. You don't have to be most holy all day, every day. In you're not unsaved when someone says, "Did you watch the game?" Uh-huh. "Yes, I watched the game." "Well, I didn't take an opportunity to..." What? What opportunity? A pop-up is strategic. Lord have mercy. You spend most of your time watching to see where the traffic is. You spend most of your time with a pop-up. Just look. See that? See? You spend most of your time just looking and listening, quiet, reserved. Save your strength for when it's time to talk about Jesus. So all of that word we heard this week, it's not for us to run in to work tomorrow or school on the 27th and start running up to people trying to witness. Unless it's a pop-up. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Remember the three goals. You want to make a profit. You want to get something out of it. You want to create brand awareness. And then you want to engage with your customers. Look at the Lord. And remember, we want to be approachable. What if we had all that word last week? We learned that we need to level up. We learned that we need to move beyond the noise. We learned, what was the last one? Work with what you got. We got all this word, and last Sunday we were just rejoicing because we knew that God will do it for us. Won't he do it? So we got all of this excitement, and wouldn't it be a shame if we weren't approachable? We won't talk to anybody. Just everyday talk. Just be you. You don't have to be you in Christ visibly all the time. As a matter of fact, people will not approach you if they sense that that's what they're going to get. And also, if you're too cold, you're so holy that I can't talk to you unless I'm talking about Jesus. And you're just nasty. Nasty to people. That's just true anyhow. Look at somebody and tell them, be kind. And it starts at home. It starts at home. You know that home is the easiest place to act ugly? It is. It's the easiest place to be mean. We laugh, but you know it's right. It really is. You'll snap at a family member quick. And that's not God. So Jesus was the king of pop-ups. He really was. Because if somebody came up to Jesus and asked him a question, he answered the question. And he was always looking for how to engage with people. If you look at Mark's version of what we read, I like Mark's gospel because it's the action gospel. He's just basically telling you story after story, and you're seeing Jesus in action the whole time. Luke stops and gives you a lot of details. So we have Luke's account, but if you were to look at Mark's account, what you would see is that Jesus was on the move. Just because you're on the move does not mean you need to be wearing yourself out. When you know how we wear ourselves out is when we take life for more than what it is. You know, it's just life. It's just taking out the garbage. It's just dropping the kids off at daycare. It's just life. It's just waking, giving somebody a ride somewhere. I had a car. My daughter's car was in the shop. It's just life. I had to go pick her up. She borrows my car, and then I got to drop her back off at home. It's just life. But have you ever seen that game? It came out in the 70s. It was called Whack-A-Mole. You ever seen it? They give you this rubber mallet, and there's five holes. And the mole comes up randomly in the holes, and the object is to hit it. And then when it comes in a different hole, you hit it somewhere else. Now, as you get better at it, the moles come up faster. And we are whack-a-Christians. Everything that comes up, oh, I need to pray about that. Oh, God, I got to pray about that. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, glory. It's just life. Save that strength for a pop-up. It's serious. Because I used to be like that, so I know. Everything got to be, hiya, Jesus. No, it's just life. And then problems come up. So I got more than five holes most weeks. I got about 10. You got children, grandchildren, cars, older cars. So they have issues. Then you just have, you know, wash the dishes, take out the trash, do the laundry. Going back to work tomorrow. Got to set this up. It's just life. But then problems come up. Oh, so-and-so's at the hospital. You got to run down there and see what's going on. Oh, someone had a home going. Somebody passed. And that's just real. But if you're doing all that up here at 100, and it's not even always anointing. Sometimes it's just your personality. You're just too much. You're doing too much. You're doing the most. That's what my sister says, too. You're doing the most right now. And we're not being as productive. I always look at this the Christian landscape. When's the last time you planted a seed of righteousness in someone or led somebody to Christ? Because that's the product and profit. The profit is somebody hears about Jesus. The profit is you growing grace. The profit is something concerning Christ. Where's your profit? I see your revenue, because revenue is what you have up here. But then you got to take deductions and discounts to get to profit. And so I see you doing a lot. But at the end of the day, what was the profit? Did anybody's soul get blessed? Is anybody really coming to Christ? I know they're coming to church.
Yeah.
Or I know they're coming over to your house.
Right, right.
But are they coming closer to Christ? So Jesus would be among the multitudes many, many times. But you don't see him running up to everybody saying, be healed in the name of Jesus, be healed. I am the Son of God. You do know that, right? I have the authority to do this right now, so I'm going to lay hands on you. Uh-uh. He would wait for the pop-up opportunity. And then when it popped up, he would quickly conduct business and then shut it down and move on. I don't know about you, but at this point in history, the saints of God need to be a little bit more strategic about how we do things.
Amen.
The world goes like this. If it's not on a screen and it's not popping like this, we're not interested for more than 20 seconds. You do know that they're teaching teachers now that you have students for a maximum of real learning in a whole class period for 7 minutes.
Wow.
That's all you get. Because after that, they have tuned out. And so the church used to be the place that would give out that kind of information. And Jesus gave us an example with the way he conducted business, how to do a real pop-up and get the most out of it. Engage people. Brand yourself. So that by the time we get to this point in the scripture, Jesus showed up and the people were already waiting on him. If you look at Mark's version of it, he was in the ship. The ship hadn't even landed yet. And they saw him coming and probably was stepping in the water to get to him because he had branded himself with very little effort. He had branded himself, and word spread. Word spread. I'm going to tell you how this looks in the workplace. Last year, I didn't walk around the students all the time talking about praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. They knew I was a Christian. How did they know? Guess how I branded myself. I always had something to eat. I became known as the teacher. Even if they weren't on my roster, they could go see Ms. Cher for a granola bar. And that's how I branded myself. But what is the message here? I'm a giver.
Amen.
I'll meet a need that you have. A lot of these kids didn't have dinner last night. So if you come, go to Miss Cher, and list all my students who were on my roster would bring their friends. I'm like, who are you? And I promise you, I probably spent $500 in granola bars last year. Why? Because I knew the value, even before God gave me this message, I knew the value of a brand. And I didn't brand myself a Christian by wearing a t-shirt with a cross on it. And I didn't brand myself as a Christian by always, most people didn't know that I was a preacher until late in the year. Because why do you have to walk around telling people what you do? Let them see your Jesus in how you talk to people. And even though the students knew I was a no-nonsense teacher, I don't want to hear all that craziness around me, you already know. But I had already given them something. And they knew that I would continue to give, even if they messed up the day before. That was also my brand. You could cuss me out today, and I have been cussed out in that place.
Wow.
But when you come back tomorrow, good morning, how are you? And they would look at me like, who is this? She's crazy. But what was that? How was I branding myself? As a forgiver.
Amen.
You do things in the natural realm, and then when it's time, you set up a pop-up. You pop up. So, same Johnny, who would come to me for a granola bar. He comes, maybe this one's on my roster, so I see him a lot, right? So I get a moment when Johnny's the only one who's there. And I know Johnny's having trouble at home. So guess what? I'm gonna set up a pop-up right here. And now all of these things that I've been doing as a Christian, never said Jesus, but now I got an opportunity. I got a pop-up op. And I can say to Johnny the things now that point him to Christ. Amen. I have never been called in by a superior for proselytizing. I have never been accused on the job of trying to lead people to Christ. Why? Because I know how to do it as a pop-up. By the time you get to where I am, I done shut that thing down. What are you? I'm serious. And if they ask me, I'll tell them the truth. But the way God operates, didn't you see it in the scripture when it said that Jesus, he just disappeared. He just walked through them. Once, and they were looking, where did he go? He had shut down the pop-up. I'm sold out. I already set my brand out there. I've already engaged with a couple of customers. I'm done. And I'm moving on to the next location. It really works. It can work in school at the locker. Set up a pop-up at your locker real quick. So you have a friend who you know is struggling. And you don't want to jump over. You can't jump on everyone with Jesus right out of the gate. You just can't. You got to build a relationship. So you've built a relationship. So one day there's only you and that friend in the hallway at the locker. Set up a pop-up right quick. And talk to them. I can pray for you. And that may be the first thing they've heard from you concerning Jesus. Pray? What do you mean? And they may try to put you down and all that. Say, well, I pray because I'm a Christian and God answers. Right. Now the bell rings and everybody's coming out in the hall. Let's go to class. Shut down. But I've already profited because I put a seed. I put a seed out there. And now my brand is praying Christian. And I have engaged with the customer. So God used a familiar story on purpose today. Most people know this story. And this is one of those sermons that is really about how to live as a Christian. If you are not a Christian, if you're not a born-again believer, then you can't set up a pop-up yet. But this sermon, for all intents and purposes, is a pop-up. So I'm popping it up right now. And by the time we open the doors of the church and close them, we're going to shut it down. Now, does that mean you can't be saved after you leave here? No. Pop-ups can happen anywhere and at any time. Now, Jesus got off the boat, ran into a man full of demons, cast out the demons. The people got mad because he was messing with their income. Because the pigs were their moneymaker. So he sent demons into the pigs. The pigs ran off the cliff and killed themselves. There's like, wait a minute. But by the time they got there, the pop-up was shut down. It was shut down. Jesus had moved on. He had told the man, listen, you tell them what happened. I'm out. What if we operated like that? We would save so much spiritual strength, physical strength. We would save so much. So then Jesus moves on. And the next thing you know, this rich man comes. Just before this happened in the scripture, verse 40, just before this, a rich man comes up to him and says, look, I only have one daughter, and she's dying. She's sick. And Jesus said, okay, I'm going to go with you, and we'll set up a pop-up right quick at your house. But on his way to the planned pop-up, An unplanned pop-up happened. Aren't those the best kind? Minister Dixon was telling me she had some family members who usually she just engaged with them, tell them, oh, you need to do better. And she said now, though, she started telling them specifically, oh, we're not dealing with this spirit, we're not dealing with that spirit. Pop-ups that happen on the fly are amazing. Why? Because you're not expecting them, Sister Giles. We weren't expecting you to play us a video. But when that pop-up happened, she had everybody's attention. You were engaging with the congregation. There was a profit because now somebody else who does their children's service said, oh, I'm going to have to step up my game. Do y'all see how this works? That's how a pop-up works. A pop-up is effective because then you get benefits afterwards. And now you've branded yourself as the 21st century version of children's sermon. That's how pop-ups work. Good stuff. You helped me out today, I'm trying to tell you. You blessed my soul with that because I love technology. I got all kinds of ideas. All right. So the pop-up is supposed to happen at Jairus' house, but this Jesus is in the crowd. See, this is why we burn ourselves out. We go to school. The hallways are packed with students. You got teachers, students, administrators. You go to work. You got managers and directors, and you got CEOs and COOs and all of those. And so you get overwhelmed because it's like, well, how can I take authority over all of this? You don't have to. Set up a pop-up. Now, some of us have set up what we thought was a pop-up, but it's really a kiosk. Now, the difference between a kiosk and a pop-up, the kiosk stays. So if you go to the mall and you see this little bitty mini store in the corridor, they don't have a store. Yeah. They have a kiosk. It's cheaper to operate that. Yeah. You know, you just have a smaller inventory, and you're hoping that the foot traffic will stop at your kiosk, right? The problem with the kiosk is it becomes just as draining as a larger organization. Because you still got to stock it all the time. You still got to man it all the time. In the store, people walk in, and there I was researching as I was doing this sermon. And in a store, 90% of people who go into malls and into stores turn right. Did you know that? So anybody who's trying to open a business that has merchandise, remember that. 90% of the people turn right, and they follow a path around. So the best place to put a cash register is on the left going out the door. Because people will go all the way around and come on out. Now, if you're at a kiosk, you gotta watch all sides. A kiosk is draining. So we set up kiosks in our classrooms, in our cubicles, in our office, and every time somebody comes in, we try to make it a sanctuary. They just came in to get something signed, y'all. See how we do? We try to be so super holy. And so everybody who knows they come into my office, if you go into our office, you're going to have to do this. It shouldn't even be that heavy.
You're right.
You're there to work.
Amen.
Most of the time you're on Caesar's time. Right. Do your job. Amen. Do your job. So don't set up. You can set up a kiosk if you need a place, because honestly, I like to get to work early, go in my classroom and pray as quiet, as peaceful. I can, do my thing. So you can set up a kiosk, but don't have it be so that it begins to drain you. You set up a little solid rock at work. Come on. That's not what pop-ups are. Pop-ups literally pop up and shut down. So Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. a planned pop-up, and those are good. But on his way, in verse 40, it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. We talked about that. So just know that when you go back to work tomorrow, when you go to school, when you eventually get there, there are people waiting just for you. Because there are not a lot of Christians in some of our workplaces and in some of our schools. So there are people waiting for you. Understand that. And it says in 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of a synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, that means Jesus had agreed, but as he went, the people thronged him. So imagine that. Jesus is trying to get to the pop-up location, right? But then all of these people are around. And that happens sometimes. It is not okay to jeopardize your job and your livelihood with Jesus. That don't sound like God to me. It is not okay to jeopardize your job and your livelihood just because you want to stand up in the cafeteria on the table and start preaching. No. God didn't say nothing about that. You're out of order. And same thing in the lunchroom at work. Yes, you can stop and bow your head. That set up your pop-up right quick. A pop-up prayer. Pop up. Say that prayer and shut that down. And then, oh, what you eating? That looks good. Be approachable. Talk to people. Be normal. You know they are labeling Christians as fanatics and crazy. Why? Because sometimes we act crazy. Jesus is just as powerful when he's sitting and lounging at somebody's table in the Bible, eating, just eating. His power's still there. His authority's still there. And then when the woman comes and washes his feet with her hair, oh, Papa, look, just be ready for it. So all these people are thronging Jesus, so he can't really do much, right? However, there's a woman who reaches out, and that's how the pop-ups happen. Yesterday, I don't even know what was going on. I didn't hear one bit of the conversation. But we were sitting there eating, and then I saw two brothers come in that I had never seen before. And then I saw two Christian brothers do a pop-up right quick. Is that what really happened? Was that a pop-up? Yeah, see? Most of y'all didn't even know. That's how it works. They didn't have to get the mic and say, we got these two brothers here right now, and the whole church. What? Pop-up. Do it quick. Shut it down. Then they let them eat. See? That's how it works. Get you something to eat. Oh, and by the way, you know, this is Solid Rock Community Baptist Church. This is our bishop right here. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be saved right now. Da 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 da. Want some dessert? That's how it works. Josiah's looking at me. I love it. I'm not going to embarrass him today. But he already knows. I'll do a pop-up in a minute. Sometimes I would ride over to his neighborhood. He'd be walking down the street with his friends. Oh, pop up. Right. And I try my best not to embarrass him. And I would just say things to all of them like, you guys be good. Make good choices today. Papa, it didn't have to be, all y'all need to be saved. I look at you, oh, heathens. Do you know that there are some Christians who are so over the top that people don't want to hear about your Jesus? There's no love there. So the woman reaches out, and Jesus, it says, let's read it. In 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stands. Prophet.
Amen. Amen.
There's always a prophet.
Yeah.
When I started engaging with some of Josiah's neighborhood friends, now when they see me, they run over to my car. They don't usually talk to older people.
Yeah.
But that's the prophet.
Amen. Amen.
I engage them for just a second.
Yeah.
And they'll run up to me, and some of them are bad. No, I'm serious. Their arrest record before they're 18 is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they'll come up respectful.
Amen.
They'll cuss everybody else out. Be respectful. Why, though? Because I made myself approachable.
Amen. Right, right.
Yes.
She approached him, touched him, and the Bible says she immediately got well.
Right.
Immediately. I like that. In verse 45, and Jesus said, look at this, who touched me? When you are always riding at 100, you don't even sense when real anointing is needed. You can't even sense the difference because you're up here all the time. And so it's necessary. Here it says he, all those people bumping him, trying to get to him, probably touching him. But there was one touch that was different. And saints of God, we need to understand when a pop-up op has happened. When there's an opportunity to say something, to do something that's going to change somebody's life. Does that mean to preach them a whole 3-point sermon? Not always. Sometimes it's just tell them, what can I do for you? That's a pop-up. Because you've sensed in your spirit that there's something here. I can meet a need right here. You need to know the difference, and you know the difference by being chill sometimes. So that when the pop-up really happens, you can sense, hey, something just, you know how people always talk about the shift in the atmosphere? That's real. They say it as rhetoric. But have you ever been in the service and we have an altar call and somebody will come down and all of a sudden there's a shift when you start ministering to individual people? And while I'm preaching, it's just going out. But when we come down to the altar and I can look you in your eye, Jesus, now, pop up. Because it's personal. She touched him and he said, wait a minute, somebody really meant that. Somebody come up to you at school. I'm having a bad hair day. Well, no, that's not what you're really having. Well, yeah. That too. But there's something else too. Amen. And you need to be able to sense those things as a Christian. That's what all that word is for.
Right. Amen, amen.
To get you ready.
Amen.
Now let's look at the end of the matter. He says, somebody had touched me. And his disciples, let me paraphrase, his disciples said, wait a minute. In verse 45. All these people are around you. It could have been anybody. What do you mean, who touched me? I don't get it. Many people in the body of Christ, when you start, you might not use this term, but when you start operating pop-ups, setting them up, they're not going to understand. Because they're going to be like, you know, you may start a pop-up, and you see it's time to shut that thing down, and they want to just continue. Well, why don't we meet with them, and then we can, and then, And then they say, well, you didn't close the deal, or you're not a real Christian because you get, no. I'm just doing what Jesus did.
Yeah.
Pop-ups. They said, what do you mean who touched? He said, because I sense power went out of me. Remember that?
Yeah.
He said, I sense that virtue, that means power, has gone out of me.
Right.
And then, because she saw that he was pressing the issue, Because during a pop-up, it's very intense. Yeah. Your inventory is going out the door like this.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time. Pop-ups are exciting. There's always something happening during a pop-up. That's why it's called a pop-up.
Yeah.
It wasn't there yesterday. What's this new thing?
Yeah.
Nobody did a video last week. What's this? Pop-up.
Right.
And you got attention, and your inventory is going fast. So she knew, okay, this is my moment. And she said, it was me. And so Jesus engages with his customer. Look at him. In verse 48, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Don't be scared. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. Close the deal. Shut the shop down. And it was over. Stop thinking that you have to do over and above what Jesus would have you do. Remember, God said, you plant a seed, another person waters it, I will give the increase. I will finish it. You don't have to do it all. As a matter of fact, you don't have the strength, the energy, the wisdom. You don't have enough to do it all. You got to leave that to Jesus. Now look at this very quickly. This is the end of the matter. While he yet spake, pop up. Popped up, shut down. While he yet spake, there comes one from the ruler of synagogues out saying to him, your daughter died. While Jesus was over here conducting business in this unplanned pop-up, the scheduled pop-up has failed. And Jesus was like, wait a minute. Who do you think you're dealing with here? In the world, that may be true. A missed opportunity in the world is a missed opportunity. You got to go back to the conference room and reschedule it and replan it and Jesus like, that's not how I work. Yes. That's a good place. Come on, give me a pop-up praise right there. Pop-up. Because what did Pastor say? Jesus and God always have the last word. Jesus said, even though the planned pop-up doesn't look like what we started it to be, she was only sick, she wasn't really dead. He said, it doesn't even matter, because by the time he got there, the Bible says he went in there and he only took the people, look at this, he only took the people in who believed that pop-ups could really work. Listen, if you have a small business and you want to do a pop-up real quick, don't have people out there working on your pop-up who don't believe in your product. Because they'll turn away all the customers. Amen. So Jesus gets there, and the Bible says, look at 52. And all wept. Everybody's crying. And bewailed her, but he said, don't cry, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they laughed at him. How many of you know that when you become a pop-up Christian, people will laugh at you sometimes? Because you're just doing things that are unorthodox. I never saw that before. What is this? Well, guess what? Let them laugh. Because guess who gets the last laugh?
Right.
Jesus. Yeah. It says in 54, he put all of them out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. He said, give her something to eat. All is well. Pop up. Shut down. Close for business.
Yeah.
Do realize that Calvary was a pop-up. How do we know? Because crucifixions happened all the time. That was nothing new. So the crucifixions were like the general store. But Calvary was a pop-up. The reason was they had never seen a product like this. They had never seen a crucifixion produce a prophet. They had never seen a crucifixion engage with souls. So Calvary was in fact a pop-up. Jesus told his disciples after 3 years of ministry, his entire ministry had been a pop-up. He had popped up for 3 years, then it was time to shut it down. So when they arrested him, he got to the judgment halls, and they began to question him. They had pop-up trials. So they tried to set up a pop-up. The problem was nobody was buying their brand. The problem was there was no profit at these trial pop-ups. The problem was they couldn't engage anybody at these pop-ups. This was just some old renegade foolishness. So Jesus himself went from judgment hall to judgment hall. But then the Bible says that after they beat him and whipped him and put a crown of thorns on his head, that he marched up to Calvary like it was nobody's business. And he said, you know what? Even though, this is what I love about him. He said, even though this pop-up is going to serve all of mankind forever and always, he says, I have some specific customers with whom I must engage. So the Bible says that they nailed him in his hands and they nailed him in his feet, but there was this man hanging next to him. He said, you know what? The pop-up is good for everybody. He said, but this particular pop-up, I'm going to have a pop-up within a pop-up, because I'm going to pop up right here and tell the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Shut that one down. Then the Bible says he saw his mother standing there, and he said, you know what? She's not going to have any place to live after this. So pop up. I need to give her some place to rest her head. So he told John, here's your mother. Told his mother, here's your new son. Pop up, close for business. Then the Bible says that he continued. This pop up was awesome because there was a soldier there with whom Jesus needed to engage. And I have always believed, every time I read this soldier story, the centurion, I have always believed that he was the one of the ones that beat him. He was the one of the ones that watched him walk up the hill. He was one of the ones that heard everything he said from the cross. I believe that because what he was saying was, surely, after we did all this to him, after we beat him, after we spat on him, after we took his things and parted him for Lot, after we did all these things to this man still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Prophet. And now, Jesus had branded himself as the one and only Son of God. I don't care what he looked like when he was hanging on the cross. He had branded himself as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One who's able to still save, one who's able to make provision, one who's able to, even in his suffering, bless us. The Bible says, oh, look at God, that after he had sold out his inventory, after he branded himself, after he had engaged with some specific customers, he said, now, I need to establish something. These pop-ups now must have a general place so that the new pop-ups will be a microcosm or a miniature version of something. So the Bible says they put him in the tomb and he went down to hell, set captives free. Pop up. Imagine that pop up. He popped up in glory, literally, and said, let's go. Awesome. Close for business. Now hell is ready for Satan and his demons. And there'll be no more pop-ups down there. So he walks out of the grave and he establishes the church. He saw his people, sat them down, and said, I need you to go and make disciples. And so Solid Rock Community Baptist Church is the church. It's the general store. And every time we go out of the body of Christ, every time we go out of the church building, we become eligible to be pop-ups. Only Christians can do this. So he established his church when he got up from the grave. And if you are a born-again believer, you have the authority to set up a pop-up.
Amen. Amen.
If you are not a born-again believer, you cannot set up a pop-up. But the word of God today, we call it Rhema. In the word of God today, if you will but reach out and touch him, the Bible says immediately you will be saved and become eligible to be your own entrepreneur. The product is Jesus. The profit is salvation. Your brand ought to be righteousness and holiness, kindness, love, niceness. And your customers are waiting. Amen. So first of all, can I get everybody to stand up? So this is a pop-up invitation. It's a pop-up because remember what a pop-up is about. It has all of the elements of the greater thing. It's a mini version. Every Sunday, we have a pop-up invitation with the anointing to invite you to be saved. And when you become saved, you become part of a greater body called the body of Christ. If you're here and you have never said yes to Jesus, if you're here and you want to become a Christian, you need to believe that cross story that Jesus actually shed his blood to cleanse you of your sins, yours specifically. If Jesus wanted to leave Calvary as a general store, he would have never talked to the thief. Think about that. He didn't have to say anything to him. He was already going through the salvation process. He could have heard his testimony and known that, okay, he's going to be saved. But he said something to him. Because it's personal. And so for somebody here today, you need to respond to this pop-up and be saved. Jesus died for you, shed his blood for you, but the most important thing that happened is after 3 days in the grave, he got up. No other religion can boast that. There's a whole lot of religions out there. And they'll talk to you about all kinds of great men and great words of wisdom, but not one of them has a risen Savior who is still alive and will always be alive. And if you want to be saved, just come down here and meet me. Now, you might say, why do I have to walk down? The Bible is clear. Not about you walking this aisle, but the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you need to say something. We're not going to give you the mic and say, tell me your whole life story. No. We just want to know, do you believe Jesus? Do you believe he died for you? Do you believe he rose and that he's coming back for you? Those are the things Christians believe. So that's why we asked you to come, so we can be a witness that you are, in fact, in the body of Christ. Come on. Don't think about it. Do it. Pop-ups don't last long. Once the inventory's gone, they shut down. And pretty much they'll say, okay, you can meet me at this other location. Because, that's, you know, you can come to church next week. Or you can talk to another Christian this week. But why do that when we got all the product right here? Come on. Come on and be saved. It's easy. It's easy. And this is what I always tell people.